I'd like to call the Senate State Affairs Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is 3:30 in the afternoon, January 28th. We are in the Belts Committee Room in Juneau, Alaska. Before we start, please turn off any cell phones. Present today, we have Vice Chair Senator Bjorkman, Senator Wilikowski, Senator Gray Jackson, Senator Yunt, myself, Chair Kawasaki. I'd like to thank Carrie Tupoa and of Senate Records and Dennis Fukushima, moderator for the Legislative Information Office, for spreading the word. We have two items up on the agenda this morning, or this afternoon. We have first, Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 7 to maintain Denali as the official name. There is a House version of this joint resolution. It's currently in the other body, but we will take testimony, open it up to public testimony, and then we will take up Senate Bill 31, Address Confidentiality Program by Senator Keel. First, we were going to go ahead and take up Senate Joint Resolution Number 7. It's a resolution to maintain Denali as the official name. Members do have a draft committee substitute in their packets for Senate Joint Resolution 7. May I have a motion to adopt the committee substitute as today's working document? Senator Bjorkman.
Mr. Chairman, I move to adopt the committee substitute for SGR 7 work draft 34-Lima Sierra 0443/November as our working document.
And are there any objections? Hearing and seeing none, we will be using 34-LS0443/N as a working document for Senate Joint Resolution 7. If I can have staff to the Senate State Affairs Committee, or staff Sally Rafson, come forward and explain some of the changes to our resolution this afternoon. And if you could just state your name. Well, I'm sorry. Before that, I should have objected, and then we will talk. And then we will have the committee changes from Ms. Rafson. You just come forward and state your name and your affiliation for the record and explain the changes that are in this committee substitute.
Okay. I am Sally Rafson, staff for Senator Kawasaki. So we made the following changes. On page 1, lines 2 through 4 of version N, the title was amended to reflect the addition of new resolve language on page 2, lines 26 through 27, as well as lines 29 through 32. Page 1, lines 4 and 5 of version A were deleted whereas language. Page 1, line 15 through page 2, line 1 of version N, we added the following language. Whereas on June 7th, 1913, Walter Harper, a 20-year-old man of Athabascan descent, became the first person to stand on the summit of the mountain. On page 2, lines 19 through 24, we deleted whereas language from the first version. On page 2, lines 22 to 24 of version N, we added whereas language. Whereas the Alaska State Legislature supports efforts to recognize the heritage of the state's Alaska Native peoples and the continuing importance of the mountain to the Alaska Native culture. On page 2, lines 26 through 27, we added the United States Board on Geographic Names to the list of entities. On page 2, lines 29 through 31 of version N, we added resolve language requesting Alaska's congressional delegation to advocate on behalf of and work to preserve Denali as the official name for the tallest mountain in North America. And lastly, on page 3, lines 1 through 7 of version N, we replace previous reference to United States Secretary of the Interior with the Honorable Walter Cruikshank, Acting United States Secretary of the Interior, for cleanup purposes. And we also added Domestic Names Committee, the United States Board on Geographic Names, the Honorable Lisa Murkowski and the Honorable Dan Sullivan and the Honorable Nick Begich.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Raffson. Are there any questions on the committee substitute? Senator Wilikowski.
I don't know if you're the person to answer this or not, but what's the process for the rename? Has it been officially renamed, or is there a process that it has to go through where they seek public input through the Department of Interior? Do you know?
I'm not sure.
So the actual sponsor of the resolution and a version in the other body will be forward, and she'll be able to answer those questions.
Thank you.
Okay. So let's see. Are there any other objections to adopting this committee substitute with those minor changes? Great. Seeing and hearing none, the Senate Joint Resolution Work Draft 34LS0443/N is our current working document. I'd now like to invite Representative Maxine Dibert and her staff to the front if they would like to make a presentation on this bill. If you could just state your names and your affiliation for the record, welcome to the Senate State Affairs Committee.
Maxine Dibert, I represent downtown Fairbanks, House District 31.
And for the record, I am Sarah Snowberger, Chief of Staff to Representative Maxine Dibert. And if it's the will of the committee, I can answer Senator Wilikowski's question first off.
Sure.
So the process is, as far as we understand it, we're all learning, is that under the EO, the president is asking the Secretary of Interior to create a geographic naming board. And it comes from a lot of different entities. It can be made up of, like, postmasters. There's quite a I'm sorry, I don't have my notes in front of me, but I believe it's 7 members. And so they don't just do the name of Denali switch, but it's, you know, the Gulf of America. It's a number of naming switches that go before the naming board. And once they make that change, as far as I know, they don't take any public input. They just make the changes that they want to. And in previous times, the reason it took so long to change the name from McKinley to Denali was that if a member of Congress does have a bill before in Congress that says, you know, I'm going to change the name of this, that the Naming Commission can't make any changes to that. So for a long time, there was a congressman from the state of Ohio that said he always had a bill in that was going to keep the name McKinley instead of Denali. And it took the will of the then Secretary of Interior in 2015 and the President Obama to kind of shut that bill down because nothing had ever happened to it, and that's why they were able to, the Naming Commission was then able to rename the mountain Denali.
Senator Wilikowski.
So it hasn't officially been renamed Mount McKinley yet? Or
through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, that is correct. It hasn't been named yet.
And Senator Wilikowski.
So this is the state of Alaska's opportunity to weigh in and suggest don't name it that. Is that correct?
Through the chair, that is correct. It could be. That's why we're also asking, like, our congressional delegation. They can step in and make some changes. The resolution covers a lot of people that we are putting this resolution to: the president, the Secretary of Interior, our congressional delegation, etc.
One last follow-up. So if I understood you correctly, if a member of our congressional delegation were to file a piece of legislation to name it Denali, would that stop the process then?
Through the chair, that is correct.
And
go ahead.
Do we have any indication about whether or not our congressional delegation is doing that?
Again, through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, our office has reached out to Senator Murkowski's office, and asked if they plan to make any of those changes. We've also reached out to Senator Sullivan, and we have not heard back. But, you know, in the press, I'm sure you've read that they do want to keep the name Denali, and they know that's what Alaskans want. So we don't know what their plans are moving forward. But, again, this is why this resolution is also to our congressional delegation.
Great. Go ahead, Senator Wilikowski.
Would it benefit to have it in the be it resolved that we urge our congressional delegation to file a piece of legislation to rename it Denali to stop the process?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, that is a possibility. That's something that we could add to it. It's why we did do the resolution to them, because our understanding is that our congressional delegation is fully aware that's an option for them. So, but we could actually put it into the resolution. I think the sponsor would be open to that. So,
thank you.
Thank you, Senator Wilikowski. I know that you might have a broader presentation, or Representative Dibert, you might have a broader presentation on this resolution. If you want to just start, and then we might have questions at that point.
Yes, thank you, Chair, and just thank you to my staff for doing all of the hard work in the research and getting us to where we are here today. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the Senate State Affairs Committee. Thank you for having me here, my staff. For the record, my name is Representative Maxine Dibert, and I'm here today asking for your support for Senate Joint Resolution 7, which seeks to maintain the name Denali. There is something truly special about seeing Mount Denali. Even a brief glimpse of this majestic mountain really brings a sense of pride to us as Alaskans. The towering giant in all its glory stands as a symbol of our state's majesty. Denali has been known by its true name for thousands of years, and that name is Denali. And it's not just a name, it's a symbol. It's a symbol of history, culture, and respect. And the name comes from the Koyukon Athabascan name, a language meaning the tall one. As many of you might know, that the journey to where we are today was a long one in naming it Denali. It has taken 40 years of advocating to name it Denali. At the time, the Alaska State Legislature passed in 1975 a resolution for the federal government to officially adopt the name Denali. This hard-fought victory exemplifies the determination of the people of Alaska, who never wavered in advocating for a name that truly represents our identity. In 2015, the U.S. Board on Geographic Names finally acknowledged the name Denali, a decision celebrated statewide for its recognition of the mountain's cultural and historical importance, not just to Native Alaskan communities, but for everyone who calls the state our home. I urge you, members of the Senate State Affairs Committee, to support Senate Joint Resolution 7. Denali is more than a mountain. It is a cornerstone of Alaska's history, a tribute to our diverse culture, and a testament to the people who have cherished this land for millennia. If the federal government moves to change the name, again, it is an affront to our state sovereignty. To officially change the name would not only dishonor those who fought to protect it all these years, but also dismiss the voices of Native communities whose roots are intertwined with the land. Let us preserve the name Denali, the name that embodies the majesty of the tallest peak in North America, the name that bridges our past and our future, and the name that continues to inspire pride in all of Alaskans. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, Representative. Let's see, are there any questions before we open this up to public testimony of members of the committee? No questions?
Chair.
Oh, yeah.
Ms. Evans. Thank you, Chair Kawasaki. For the record, Sarah Snowberger, I actually got a note while we were doing our presentation from another staff member who was also working with our legal team on this resolution. And it was a suggestion from our legal team to not specifically put it into the resolution to have a, one of our congressional delegation put in legislation, but rather to just make it more broad so that they have options and that they're fully aware of their options.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you very much for your presentation. If there are no other questions from members, we'll go ahead and open this up to public testimony. Public testimony is limited to 3 minutes, but we'll try and make accommodations for anybody who has a longer testimony. We are open to public testimony. Is there anybody in the room who'd like to testify on Senate Joint Resolution number 7? Hearing none. Are there? Is there anybody online? There are. There might be somebody online. Thank you. We do have somebody online. We have Mr. Ed Martin of the Kenai Peninsula. If you'd like to state your name and your affiliation for the record, welcome to the Senate State Affairs Committee.
Yes, Chair Kawasaki and other members of the committee. My name is Ed Martin, Jr. I reside at 702 Lawton Street, Kenai, Alaska. I'm calling a long distance because I'm in my winter home for a few months. I'd like to say aloha to all of you. You will be hearing a lot about me in the course of this legislative session. This subject is something that I never thought would ever come about, that things change in our government, and a lot of times, a lot of years go by before change actually happens, and that's exactly what happened in this case. I grew up knowing Mount McKinley as Mount McKinley in the Mat Valley, and that was from 1965 on. I don't recollect a vote of the people in support of Denali, the mountain being renamed to Denali. I understand the culture, and I understand the people that pioneered the great state of Alaska in a sense. There's always the indigenous individuals, of which I could testify. I have two sisters, half King Island Eskimo, and I am 1/8 Chiricahua. Now, I totally understand that, but first and foremost, I'm an American citizen, and I'm a resident of the Kenai Peninsula in the state, great state of Alaska. How this comes about in the change, I just hope it's done properly. And I, as far as I'm concerned, it could be a compromise, and I understand that President has ordered a compromise to leave the mountain at its same name but change the park. Or maybe it's the other way around. I'm not sure. My memory isn't as good as it should be. But however you go forward with this, if it's in the best interest of Alaska and it makes people happy, that's all I care about. Let's live in harmony, and let's embrace change. So God bless you all in your mission and the legislature, and we'll be talking again soon. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Martin. Are there any questions for Mr. Martin? Well, we want to say mahalo to you. Thank you for your testimony today, and we will be hearing from you again, I'm sure. So is there anybody else online who'd like to testify under public testimony on Senate Joint Resolution number 7? And one more call, anybody in the room who'd like to testify? All right. I will go ahead and close public testimony at this time. Are there any other questions from members of the committee before we set Senate Joint Resolution aside? And we have Senator Yunt.
Thank you. Not so much a question, but a clear bias on my part. I did name my first daughter's middle name Denali, and so we'll see where the cards fall when this hits the floor to vote on. But there's a lot to take into consideration, right? So, you know, it was a gold miner that first talked about it as being McKinley in the late 1800s, right? So there's a lot of history here on both sides, a lot of great people on both sides, but I'm pretty biased towards Denali myself. So.
Thank you, Senator Yunt. Senator Wilikowski.
Has the state ever officially designated or recognized it for geographical naming purposes as Denali? Do you know?
Through the chair to Senator Wilikowski, I am not 1,000% sure on that, but I'd be happy to get that information to you.
In my understanding, the state has, but I don't have the exact detail. But if you could get that, I think that'd be helpful for us to see. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it is in statute, actually, but we can find that reference at a later time. I will say for Mr. Martin, who was online, I think he might still be listening to us, is that the federal government named Denali Mount McKinley in 1917. So think about a little over 100 years ago. But for probably 3,000 or 4,000 years before that, it's been named Denali. Do you have any other statements to make before we set Senate Joint Resolution aside? I intend to take it up when the House resolution comes to our direction and forward that one on. So do you have any comments to make before we set this bill aside?
Chair, I do not. And I just want to thank you for the time this afternoon and for the committee for your interest and your time to listen to us.
Great. Thank you, Representative Dybert and Sarah, whose last name I don't know how to spell. I will figure it out before our next committee meeting, though. Thank you for your time today. We will go ahead and set Senate Joint Resolution aside until the House Joint Resolution joins this committee very soon. We will take a brief at ease for the next bill to come forward. Go ahead and call the Senate State Affairs Committee meeting back to order. Next, we will hear on the calendar Senate Bill number 31, Address Confidentiality Program. It is sponsored by Senator Jesse Keel. Senator Keel and his staff, Ella Adkisson, are before us. If you would like to present the bill, welcome to the Senate State Affairs Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the State Affairs Committee. I appreciate you hearing the bill today. We go from one of Alaska's soaring glories to one of Alaska's most persistent problems. But we have the opportunity to do a little something about it, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Jesse Keel. I have the absolute privilege of representing Senate District B in the Alaska State Legislature. And I am joined by Ella Adkisson of my staff. Mr. Chairman, Senate Bill 31 creates an address protection program in the Department of Administration. The need for the bill is maybe best illustrated by a story a former colleague, or rather a former member of the Senate, told some years ago. She had worked in a program that helps survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault. And she had helped serve a woman who had escaped a terribly violent relationship, uprooted herself, uprooted her family, restarted her life in Alaska to get a brand new start. She did all the things that you would expect a person to do, all the things that a person could do to keep themselves and their family safe. She got a post office box. She kept her voter registration, a home address private, all the options that were available to her. And yet, one day, going to the post office to get her mail, she very luckily, very fortunately, saw her former abuser in a car outside the post office before he saw her. Mr. Chairman, to be clear, the abuser did not live in Alaska previously and had not moved to Alaska. He was staking out the post office to find her. An address protection program would help. We all do things that require an address. We register to vote, we register a car, we send our children to school, and so on and so forth. Many of those things create a public record. Mr. Chairman, we are one of only six states without an address protection program. because those people who survive and who get free from domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking situations need the ability to participate in life where they have restarted safely and privately. So, brass tacks, what does the bill do? The bill creates a program within the Department of Administration. When a person registers for the program, they get the right to use a state of Alaska post office box for their first-class mail, their registered mail, court documents, those sorts of things. This will not be an Amazon package forwarding service. It will not forward your junk mail. That mail, it could create a public record, comes to that address and is confidentially forwarded to your actual mailing address. There is not then a way for an abuser, for a stalker, to later use it to find you. Mr. Chairman, there is one difference in Senate Bill 31 from some other states' programs. Senate Bill 31 lets peace officers and correctional officers in Alaska participate as well. Our public safety professionals get trained in their academies, don't have social media, don't put your address online, don't do these things that could expose you to the people you have arrested, you have incarcerated, who might seek revenge on you, revenge on your family. Allowing them to participate in this address protection program would give them an additional tool so that they can remain safe as they do their jobs for all of us. Mr. Chairman, it's a small program, but it is a much needed one. I'm happy to talk about additional details or provide the committee with any additional information. At this point, I'll turn it over to you for the will of your committee for whatever you'd like to look into.
Yeah, let's see if there's any initial questions from members. Senator Elvie Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Senator Kill, for bringing this bill forward. I think it's a really good one, and I support it. But I have a question regarding the post office box, because post office boxes are really expensive. So is there going to be a cost for this service?
Mr. Chairman, in answer to Senator Gray Jackson, no. The bill is written such that it actually does not allow the department to charge a fee. The state of Alaska gets a lot of mail and would get an additional post office box, I think, for this program. But then the employee who runs the program would send the mail to whatever address they hold confidentially for the participant, so there would be no added cost for the participant.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Let's see if there's any other questions. Initial questions? Okay. Hearing and seeing none, I'm not sure if you have a sectional or would like to go over that. Okay. Senator Keel?
Ms. Atkinson. Ms. Atkinson, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Ella Atkinson, staff to Senator Keel. Section 1 puts the program in the Department of Administration. Section 2 creates the program, requires a single post office box for enrollees to use as a substitute mailing address and for mail forwarding purposes, requires enrollees' real addresses be kept confidential and describes program eligibility, prevents registered sex offenders from enrolling, requires state and municipal agencies to accept the P.O. box, describes the eligibility period, prevents the department from charging a fee, allows access to confidential addresses subject to a search warrant, and establishes penalties for unlawfully revealing a protected individual's address. Section 3 establishes a transition period for the department to adopt regulations to implement the program. Section 4 lets the department begin its regulation process immediately. And Section 5 sets an effective date of January 1st, 2026 for the rest of the bill. Thank you.
Great. That was concise. Let's see if there's any questions before we move along to invited and public testimony. Senator Bjorkman?
Nope.
Any questions? Okay. I guess hearing and seeing none, we'll go ahead and go to invited and public testimony. We have first on the line, we have Mr. Randy McClellan. Randy is the president of the Alaska Correctional Officers Association, joining us from Anchorage. If you could just state your name and your affiliation for the record, welcome to the Senate State Affairs Committee.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
My name is Randy McClellan. I'm president of ACOA. I'm also a staff sergeant with the Department of Corrections. I've been with the Department of Corrections going on 28 years now. I'm speaking today in support of Senate Bill 31. Correctional officers work in an incredibly dangerous environment with many aggressive offenders serving time for various heinous crimes. Correctional officers are all that stand between the offenders and the public. They are the only line of defense. And correctional officers, unfortunately, in the nature of the job, are often, they often receive threats of harm to themselves, harm to their property, harm to their families. Unfortunately, it's just the nature of the job. I can speak personally to it, having had my information compromised at one point to a MAC prisoner in the MAC unit who had been repeatedly threatening me, of course, claiming he was going to be released from jail any day, that of which did not happen, thankfully. But when he got his discovery paperwork from his attorney, he said, I'm going to find you and your family, your wife and your children, even threatened my dog. And he put the sheet of paper up on the window and showed me my home address and described to me how he was going to carry out his threats. So this bill is incredibly important for those reasons, because correctional officers oftentimes are subpoenaed to testify, and crimes are committed on the street, but there are many, many, many crimes that are committed within the confines of our facilities where correctional officers are required to go and give testimony in court, and oftentimes your personal information is a matter of discovery or revealed in the prisoner's paperwork. So, so I'm very excited for this bill, and I'm grateful, and I just want to say thanks. Thank you very much for bringing it to everybody's attention.
Great. Thank you, Mr. McClellan. Are there any questions for Mr. McClellan? Okay, I don't see any. Thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon. Next in line, we have Keely Olson. Keely is the executive director of Standing Together Against Rape, calling in from Anchorage. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Okay, if you'd like to just state your name and your affiliation for the record, welcome to the Senate State Affairs Committee.
Certainly, my name is Keely Olson. That's O-L-S-O-N, and I work as the executive director of STAR in Anchorage. I want to thank the State Affairs members and chair for the opportunity to testify in support of SB 31. I consider it a critical piece of legislation and would welcome an address confidentiality program in Alaska. Prior to working at STAR, I worked as a victim advocate with prosecuting attorney's office in Washington State, and I managed a domestic violence shelter program in Montana. Both states had address confidentiality or protection programs, which we used as essential tools to assist someone with stalking or high lethality risk to help them be safer. Combined with comprehensive safety planning and an emergency relocation plan, the address protection program helped save lives and help survivors cope with the constant fear of their address being compromised. Address protection programs are available in at least 40 states. The programs I have experience with were accessible. They were easy to use and inexpensive. Out of curiosity, I contacted Montana's program administrator to ask about their program. It began in 2006 with an initial startup cost of $50,000. And over the last 17 years, the program cost Montana around $20,000 a year to operate, with 68 participants enrolled. The main costs of the program were to pay a small portion of the program administrator and her assistant salaries, because only a small portion of their time was spent working on the program. I also applied because I have family members who work in law enforcement, making the program accessible to correction officers and law enforcement. I have worked, unfortunately, with those who are public servants who have had to place their homes in a spouse or family member's name to protect their addresses. So I can certainly appreciate the need for their inclusion in this bill. Thank you again for the opportunity to testify. I had one added note that today I was working with someone who we're serving currently who would benefit greatly from enrolling in a program such as this here in Alaska. She has relocated 2 to 3 times. She's cut off all social media. She has a detailed safety plan in place and has a protective order. Yet she has still been tracked to her new home and has continued to be stalked. So protections for her and her young daughter would be very beneficial. Thank you so much for the opportunity to testify, allowing me to speak today. And thank you for your work to increase safety for survivors of domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking.
Great. Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Olson. Are there any questions for Ms. Olson? Thank you once again for your public testimony. We will now move along to Mr. Brad Ewing. He is listed as the Division Director for Shared Services of Alaska within the Department of Administration here in Juneau. I don't think he's in the room. I think he's online. If you would like to introduce yourself to the committee and you have time for testimony.
Good afternoon. For the record, Brad Ewing, Division Director in the Division of Shared Services. And I am available for any questions that the committee may have, but I currently do not have any testimony prepared for this bill.
Thank you very much for being online, Mr. Ewing. Are there questions for Mr. Ewing? Senator Bjorkman has a question for you.
Thank you very much, Chair Kawasaki. Just a couple of questions regarding the fiscal note. How did you come up with an estimate of 60 pieces of mail per person per year that enrolls with the program?
Thank you for the question, through the chair. We reached out to a few different states that are already running similar programs, and based on the feedback we received, that was an average of what we anticipate would be mailed on an annual basis.
Senator Bjorkman.
Thank you for that answer. That number struck me as considerable, considering the scope of things that were described by the bill sponsor. Just a follow-up to that question, the employees called the employee positions and ranges called out in the bill with the program manager starting off at a range 23 and overseeing one employee. Is that in line with your department and other departments and how many employees they oversee?
Thank you for the question, through the chair. This is a unique program for our division. We have a central mail program that is comprised of 5 mail couriers, but this would be a unique program. And based on our conversations with other states, including Arizona, as a model, one program manager, which I believe was range 22, and then an administrative assistant, was the approximately what would, if we were to scale that for the state of Alaska, what it sounded would be needed to run the program. Typically, direct reports or a supervisor within our division would have more than one direct report, but this is a unique, relatively small program that seemed to justify having that one direct report for the program manager.
Understood. Yep.
Senator Bjorkman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, kind of with the fiscal constraints that we all face, certainly support the program. And I wonder, my question is an interest in trying to fit this in, certainly willing to provide funding for employees as needed to execute the mission of this essential service, I just wonder at the range slotted amounts as well as need to travel yearly to a conference and other things that are included in this fiscal note that I find a little fascinating. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ewing. I guess I had similar concerns about this fiscal note, and I know that the Finance Committee will scrub this quite a bit. But, you know, when you think about Arizona, $7.5 million, so roughly 10 times the size. So I don't know if they spend $4 million on their program, but it seems like a pretty hefty cost. Not sure if the Senator Keel wants to comment on it. Or if you have other comments, Mr. Ewing.
Thank you, Chair. We'd be happy to work with the bill sponsor to be as efficient as possible in finding a solution for this program.
Thank you, Director. Are there other questions for the Division Director from Shared Services? Okay. Thank you very much for being online to answer our questions. We'll continue on to invited and public testimony, where we have Mr. Ed Martin again from the Kenai Peninsula contacting us from the ocean. Welcome, Mr. Martin, if you'd like to state your name and your affiliation for the record.
Yes, sir. Chairman, Willikowski's there too, Senator Willikowski and my representative. Yes, I'm Ed Martin, Jr. from 702 Lawton Street in Kenai, Alaska. This is a unique bill, but it sort of makes me wonder. I can go on several search engines today, and I think anyone can, and probably list somebody's address. So is this going to be enforceable against Google search and some of the others that may have this in their records somewhere from past use? I think it's maybe a bit of a reach, but I think those that are determined to get retribution or revenge or whatever will find it reasonably easy to get an address. That's troublesome to me. So I think whoever's put this program together, I would ask a little bit more about how those individuals are protected in the search engines that exist out in the so-called internet. I think that's a critical question. I think this is good legislation. It probably will help many in the state of Alaska. But if it's not enforceable with those search engines out there, in the internet, it's not really going to be as effective as it should be. So I think that's a good question for you folks to look into, and I appreciate you allowing me to speak on this bill. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Martin, for your testimony again today. Are there any other, are there any questions for Mr. Martin? Okay, seeing and hearing none. We will bring it back to the committee, see if the committee has any more questions before we set Senate Bill 31 aside. I guess I do have that nagging question about the fiscal note, and it sounds like we will have we'll have a scrubbing of that definitely in the Finance Committee. I do have a question because it's Division of Elections has a list of people and where they live, their residential addresses to post so that they know which district they live in. They also have a mailing address, which could be different than the physical address. They release data all the time, but they do not release the residential address. If you've checked that box saying, I don't want you to release that. I don't know how much work that takes, but it sure doesn't seem like it should cost as much as it's... Well, anyways, the fiscal note reflects at this time. So I don't know if you think there are some costs. It seems like there might be some costs, but to have basically a list or something administered through the department if the sponsor would like to maybe address that issue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Happy to. And again, for the record, Jesse Keel, Senate District B. A couple of issues that have been raised. Many states actually put these programs within their Division of Elections. And in scoping this bill over the last couple of years and working with the executive branch, they preferred that it be within the Department of Administration, in part because of the centralized mail service. And I think Division of Elections had concerns about their ability to absorb the program. So where it goes administratively was not the critical concern for me. Providing the service to Alaskans was. In terms of the Division of Elections or a municipal clerk's ability to locate a voter within the correct district, they are subject to confidentiality rules today for anyone who has checked that box to keep their physical address private. Those rules would continue to apply for someone who registers to vote and provides the address protection program as their mailing address. When it comes to the fiscal note, I appreciate Director Ewing's offer to work further on it, and I share your certainty that we'll be scrubbing this in the Finance Committee quite thoroughly. I look forward to those conversations. And then finally, the other concern that was raised did have to do with the Internet. And, Mr. Chairman, we need to operate with our eyes wide open on this. The first commissioner of administration I talked about this bill with looked me in the eye and said, you know, no program you give me can erase anybody from the Internet. Absolutely true. The folks who will benefit from this are folks in the public safety professions who are just starting a career and who are not going to have a social media account, and they're not going to have their family members have a social media account in order to keep them safe. The folks who benefit from this will be those who pick up and move to restart their lives. If your abuser, attacker, stalker knows where you live and you still live there, you're not going to delay your mail or your ballot coming to your mailbox to get in this program because they know where you live. But for those whose fear for their lives and their families' lives is so certain they pick up and restart, this will be tremendously valuable. And so the ability to use this address for those things, for court proceedings, for all the other things that might create records that a web crawler can scrape and provide in that Internet search, that's what's going to provide them the protection. They will have this address protection address, and that's all the web crawlers will be able to find.
Great. Thank you, Senator Keel. Are there any other questions before we – oh, actually, is there anybody else you'd like to testify on Senate Bill 31? We will keep public testimony open. We will also allow for public testimony to be sent to the committee via email. The email address for the State Affairs Committee is senate.state.affairs@akleg.gov. That address again is senate.state.affairs@akleg.gov. We will take that testimony. We'll put it in the public record if you'd like to email public testimony our direction. So at this point, if there's no further questions about Senate Bill 31, we will thank Senator Keel and Ms. Atkinson for their introduction to Senate Bill 31. We'll set Senate Bill 31 aside at this time. Okay, so that does conclude the meeting of the Senate State Affairs Committee. Are there any other comments anybody would like to make? Before we go, our next meeting will be Thursday, January 30th. We will hear two bills. We'll hear Senate Bill number 64 relating to elections, voter registration. It is by the Senate Rules Committee. We'll also be hearing a bill, Senate Bill 70, related to schools, elections, boards, voting, and election administration. This is by Senate Rules Committee by request of the governor. So our two big elections bills that are coming our direction, we will be hearing. Any other last minute? Okay, hearing none. Thank you for being here, both to Carrie and Dennis. We will gavel the meeting of the Senate State Affairs Committee. The Senate State Affairs Committee is adjourned at 4:21.